Reynolds Price knows American literature, and he knows the Carolinas, so he might have been expected to have run across the writings of Thomas Wolfe and to have known in advance that there are those who believe you can't go home again. But he went anyway.
In the years of the Great Depression, my family hardly suffered the grim dislocation of so many Americans in the desperate search for work and food. But my father's jobs as a salesman of electrical appliances did move us around the state of North Carolina a good deal more often than I, a child who badly wanted roots, could enjoy. One of my early pieces of luck, however, was that we settled for 8 years in one town, Asheboro. There, at the age of 6, I entered the first grade of public school, met dozens of likable children, and proceeded happily through the first 5 grades. Then, much against my 11-year-old will, in 1944, we moved away, and I was pried apart from my first real friends, those primal figures from my childhood, whom no later acquaintance has quite matched in magnetism and sheer amazement. I missed my teachers and friends so much, the safe green streets of a small textile mill town with its huge park and dark, cool movie palaces, that for many years I couldn't trust myself to revisit the place. I suppose I thought I might burst into sobs and refuse to return to my parents. If I had, there'd have been several families who'd have taken me in. As it was, I never again saw those pristine friends, not until recently. For the past year, Asheboro has been celebrating the bicentennial of its founding, and the mayor kindly invited me back to talk about my memories. At the age of 63, I thought I just might risk encountering some of those long-lost faces, and I went. The arrangements had been made with uncanny perfection. A picnic supper was set in the backyard of the last apartment house my family lived in before leaving. A dozen former schoolmates were there, and my memory for faces, aging though it is, was able to call their names at once. At the very least, they'd fared no worse than I. When we moved on to my talk, not only was the auditorium of the community college studded with further welcome faces, even the woman who'd sold me my first pair of school shoes, but the first best friend of my life introduced me. He'd come all the way from Pennsylvania for the reunion. He's a distinguished vascular surgeon there. We hadn't laid eyes on one another in 52 years, but we were each quickly swamped in floods of detailed recollection. His handmade set of King Arthur and the Round Table Knights, my handmade Tarzan loincloth. At the end of my talk, numbers of other familiars crowded round, and again, astonishingly, my otherwise porous memory produced their names and early histories unfailingly. All their recollections proved as extraordinary in clarity as mine. In the 2-hour drive back home that night, I felt the almost unbearable elation of childhood joy. Why, after a hyphen as long as 52 years? There were surely dozens of causes, but after a few weeks' reflection, I now suspect that my long-separated friends and I shared that beautiful affirmation which illumines the end of several of Shakespeare's late plays. The world, with all its thirst for blood, havoc, breach, and permanent severance, will sometimes choose to lure us forward into a small ring of radiance and to share with us there those kinfolk, colleagues, and friends whom we've lost and never thought to see again. In the days since my flawless Asheboro reunion, I've dreamt for the first time in a very long while those dreams that followed the deaths of my mother and father 30 and 40 years ago, dreams in which I walked through the door of a small party of acquaintances and suddenly glimpsed 10 yards away, one or the other of my parents, obviously alive again, young and charming, heads tossed back in laughter. 6 decades of life, bountiful as they've been, have offered me nothing better.
Novelist Reynolds Price teaches English at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina.